I just forgot to give it to Dale. Vicki had called Bina this afternoon, and she is home with bronchitis. So she didn't think that it was necessary to bring and share. So while we missed her cake, that's okay. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, and the Bible reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you." I hate to say it, but I'll say it anyway. This is part three of the first two parts I did today. And we'll go back and you'll read the rest of the story later. You know, being a disciple is a calling, but it is also a joy. We have so many good things in this life because we have a relationship that comes by being united with Christ. One of the aspects of being a Christian is striving to be in the image of Christ to the world around us. When we look at the world and they're looking at us, we want them to see the heart of Jesus working within us. We want them to know love that is unconditional. We want them to know that we give and we share because they are valued, not because of what they could do for us. And we want them to say that we like others because we live like Christ. There's a word that Christians use to describe the process of change in our lives. Paul uses that in Romans 12. It's transformation in Romans, and it means for us that we are different than we were before. Before, our sinful self wanted what was best for us. We wanted the best that we could have, and that sinful aspect becomes willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Sometimes it hurts others along the way. But then there's this spirit-filled side of us. The Spirit wants to produce in us the fruit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. The Spirit wants to transform the sinful mind into the Christ-like mind. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul, he writes there, "And I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." The transformation that Paul speaks about begins inside of us, in our mind. When we renew our mind, when we change the way we process what to do next, we make those changes based on God's will and not our own. And when we change our way of thinking, we change our way of living. Paul is asking us, in the verses that I read, he's asking us to take an inventory of our mind, to really examine what we think about and how that affects what we do. When we think about things that are true and worthy of respect, we think on a higher level. It is totally different than when we let our mind drift off to things that are self-serving of this world. Paul adds to this list the things that are from above with the word just. With the word just, I'm reminded to go back into Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. There was a man right there in that. His name was Joseph. You all know him very well. But verse 19 in Matthew 1 describes Joseph as a just man. Or we could use the term righteous man. His character was one in which he discerned right from wrong. He sought what was just or right for others. In this case, Mary, who was pregnant, but he was not the father. But he wouldn't cast her aside. And God chose Joseph to be the father figure in the earthly life of Christ because of this characteristic. That is the calling here that Paul is referring to in Philippians chapter 4. Don't think about what we think is fair, because we get that. Think about what is right. Sometimes what is right causes us to let go some wrong that's been caused to us, so that we can use it in a way where it can help someone who has wronged us. Sometimes we think about what is just or right. We think about the value of the person, the other person, and know that we can do without freedom or a freedom for the sake of unity with that other person. You might be thinking, did he just become a politician? Because I have no clue what he's saying. Romans 14. The chapter in Romans 14, Paul, and this will help explain what I just said. Down probably, I believe it's verse 18, 19, 20, somewhere right in that area of Romans chapter 14. Paul's talking about the eating of meat. And while Paul is saying we have the right or we have the freedom to eat that meat, if our eating it causes someone's faith to stumble and pushes away the joy of salvation from that individual because for some reason they think it's sinful to eat that meat, then we would not eat it in front of them. We're not giving up our freedom of never eating that meat again, but in this instance, we give up a freedom because God told us that there is nothing unclean that He has created, did He not? And so when we abstain from that in that moment of time, we've given up a freedom. Not permanently, but for the moment. Why would we do that? Because what is just or right is the individual staying in the body of Christ. Even when we have the freedom in Christ to do something differently. I hope that explains my mumbo jumbo. This is the freedom I'm talking about giving up temporarily, so we don't cause someone to stumble. Put it in practicality. We do have emotions. And sometimes our emotions, in our emotion, anger dwells up within us. Now, God doesn't tell us not to get angry. But God tells us to deal with our anger in a manner that is just and right. So before we speak when we are angry, we need to ask ourselves, are the words I am about to say, are they just and right in the eyes of God? When we are upset and we have the world before us on Facebook, does what we post show Christ at work in us? Or do we put our faith aside and speak with words that bring shame upon Christ and the church? Think about what is just and right, and then open your mouth or put your post on social media or react to your child's actions or your spouse's words. Lift your mind above this earth to a higher ground. Another way to stay positive is to think about the things that are pure. There's an old word that we don't hear much anymore, and it's a good word, chaste. Or chest. The calling for moral purity in the mind is so needed today. It is easy to have your mind in the gutter when you think about or speak about people. Society today wants to sexualize everyone from the youngest age possible. But God steps in and He calls us upward. Think about the things that are pure, innocent, chaste, or moral character. Let me illustrate this a little bit further. I want a balloon to float on a string. You know, the kind like in the grocery store you get for your birthday. I want one just like that. I've got a string, I've got the balloon, and I want it to float. So I take the balloon and I blow it up with my breath. And I tie the string off of it. Will it float? No. Okay, that didn't work. So I'm going to take another balloon, I'm going to fill it up with water, I'm going to tie it off, and I'm going to let it go. Will it float? No, I'm going to wash my shoes. So, okay, strike two. So now I take a balloon and I fill it up with this tank of gas I've got over here. It just happens to be helium. In chemistry class, I use hydrogen, but it's more fun to set the string on fire and watch it blow the ceiling tile out. And I tie it. Voila, it floats. You see, the only way we are going to go upward is to fill our mind with the things that will allow us to go upward. The air we breathe here right now in a balloon will not allow it to go upward, and neither will water. But with the right substance within it, it will go. God is calling us upward. And our minds must be filled with the right things. See, our minds are oftentimes filled with the things that will not allow us to soar as Christians. So Paul is telling us that we need to retrain our minds. How many times do we look at someone and there is an instant judgment? Maybe it's their outward appearance. We forget that they're people. They're human beings. Human beings who have a soul. And hopefully those who genuinely want to be cared for and valued. Think about that which is innocent. Let your mind be a little naive. It's not all that bad to know all the slang that is out there that people use today. That's not you. Rise above it. It's not easy when friends or colleagues or even acquaintances start telling off-color jokes or stories and things like this, and they're expecting you to laugh. It's hard sometimes because we want to try to fit in. We don't want to offend them. But when we do laugh, we need to ask ourselves, where's my mind at this moment? Is it on anything upward, or is it down in the gutter with the rest of them? Think the things that are pure. There is a parable that Jesus told to challenge the chief priests and the elders at the temple. We find it in Matthew chapter 21. And it's in verses 28 through 31. And Jesus told them the parable and asked them a question. And it was a simple story. And it goes like this. He said, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and he said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And the son answered him. He said, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and he said the same. And the other son, he said, sir, I'll go. But he didn't go. Then Jesus asked these learned men, who did the will of their father? Which of these two sons did the will of their father? And the chief priests and the elders, they said, the one who changed his mind. And Jesus said, you are correct. But then he kicked them in the shins. And you got to like it when Jesus does that. He sets them up and then he gives them the coup de grace. Because then he tells them that tax collectors and prostitutes will go into the kingdom before they will, the kingdom of heaven before they will. You see, these men didn't want to change their minds. These men's balloons were filled with the air we breathe. They weren't filled with a substance that would allow them to go upward. Are we changing our minds? Are we thinking differently because of our relationship with God Almighty? We need to take an inventory of our minds. And better yet, we need to think on the things that Paul is teaching us in this text. I think sometimes we seem to forget that from the heart and the mind flows the actions. Flows the actions. We need to let Jesus be seen in us. And it starts when we start thinking like Christ. If you are not a child of God this evening, we want to give you that opportunity tonight to obey that gospel, to start and enter into a relationship with Him. And by obeying the gospel through repentance and confession and baptism, you will become an heir of the promise and will have the promise of eternal life. As long as you obey till death. And if you are a child of God and there are things in your life you need to change, and you need to do so in a public way. We want to give you that opportunity this evening as together we stand and we sing.